trust y'all to continue to pray. I sure am aware of the need of it right now. John chapter 5. Brother Kevin read this afternoon. I don't know if it was my heart that sunk to my down to the gut, or the gut just fell further. I don't know which it was, because, oh my goodness, that's my text. He left me plenty of room. John chapter 5, verse 1, and after this, I'm fascinated of late with just what the word says. So if you will, suffer me, just listen to what is said. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these five porches, a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first at the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I love that. The Lord's got a way of just coming right to the point. I just cut through all the fluff and let's get to the point. What are you doing here? The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed, walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I noticed that last verse there. It doesn't say, and immediately after taking up his bed and walking, he was made whole. It doesn't say that. It says, and immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. If the Lord would allow for a few more minutes, I would like to talk to you about waiting for the moving of the water. Would y'all agree with me for, just be honest. You heard what was read. I trust you were reading along with me. Were you? How's your head? That way I know you're not asleep. How's your head? Now, y'all said amen for him and laughed at his wife and all of that, so you can nod your head for me. With your wife, yes, okay, all right. Excuse me, I'll hear about that later myself. But would y'all agree with me, back to the text, that the thought of there being a place and certain time of the year, at a season, a certain season, that there would be an angel that would come and stir a pool of water. If you happened to be there, you had the opportunity to be the first one in that water when it began to boil or stir or began to move. You had some type of sicknesses or disease. If you could muster to some way get in there first, you would immediately be healed of whatever your disease was. Well, would y'all agree with me that kind of sounds a little far-fetched, don't it? That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? But evidently there was a lot of people that believed that. Because there was five porches full of them. And they're there. And they're waiting for this water to move. With anticipation of shoving somebody else out of the way so they can get in there first. I mean, you don't have long. Don't miss the opportunity. When that water starts moving, get in it. I have to tell you about the fellow here, in my opinion, over the years that I've studied this and looked at it. The Bible says here that this particular fellow had been there for 38 years. This wasn't his first time to come to this place where the water got moved. This guy had been coming to this place for 38 years. Pretty regular. Evidently, he understood the season of the year. He knew when the gathering was. And he made his way to be there somehow, some way. He was there. Now, he says he don't have anybody to get him in there, but he had some way of getting there. And if the only time somebody got healed was just at this particular season of the year, if you never thought about it, think about this. He believes that it's going to happen because, I mean, here he is, but you think about it, he's been coming there for 38 years, and if it's only the first one that gets in there, how many people do you reckon he saw get healed over all these years? Some 30-something people. Well, why would that encourage him to keep coming for all this time to this particular place at this particular season? To gather here and amongst all this multitude of people, just with the hopes that maybe this time I'll get in the water. Now, there was all kinds of people there that were impotent. Now, you've heard one definition of that. And please, let me just say this. I'm in no way trying to think that I can improve upon Brother Kennedy's message this afternoon, and I'm not trying to correct him in any kind of way. I just want to share with you with what I see here. And to say it this way, I want this in real time. This is a literal biblical record of a circumstance that happened at this particular time. This was something that must have actually happened at this particular season of the year or whenever. I want y'all to think outside the box for just a second of what y'all are doing right now. Here are all y'all gathered up here, representatives from all over the country, different churches from all kinds of places. And you're gathered up here in this place this weekend, and you're coming here, and I got to tell you, I kind of believe we're just a house full of impotent people. Yeah. Well, now you heard it described and defined for just a little bit this afternoon. These weren't dead people. This wasn't five porches full of corpses, dead or otherwise. This place was full of people with problems.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I think when it says here that there was a multitude of impotent folk, then it gives us some illustration of their impotency. Their impotency involved blind people, had eyes, couldn't see, or somehow their vision was marred or distorted. There were people that were halt. They had legs, couldn't walk right. That may just simply mean that they limped or were crippled of some sort. There were folks that were withered. Do you know what withered is? Excuse me if you have to, but the older I get, I'm learning what withered is. It's just kind of dried up and drawn up, and it's not as flexible as it was. It just won't act or perform like it once did. Impotence can mean having no power or ability to do anything. It can mean that you're helpless. It can mean that you're just simply ineffective. You ever feel like you're just ineffective? If we're talking about physical impotence, it means that you're weak, you're without bodily strength to function. You're helpless, decrepit. That's a good English word. How about this definition of being impotent? Not the master of oneself. Unrestrained. Headlong. Passionate. Do you reckon there's any of us here that have a tendency of times to just run headlong into things? Yeah. Are you passionate about anything? And just when it comes to that particular thing or thought in your mind, that you're just almost beyond control. Well, this type of people here was a multitude of them. I see some of you smiling. There was a big gathering here of folks with all kinds of problems. Maybe not aware of each other's problems so much as they were their own problems. Have you ever thought about the fact that there's a lot of folks that have problems and they think nobody else has a problem like their problem? Did you know that's being impotent? So here's all of these impotent people gathered together, and they're waiting for what they believe is going to be a stirring of the water that will grant them healing if they can get into it. They're waiting for a moving. They're waiting to be moved. I enjoyed Brother Jonathan's exuberance.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Are y'all waiting to be moved tonight or just holding the pew down? Now, evidently, the record here is that it was known why these people were here. I mean, everybody knows why these people is here. And into this congregation of people, was Jesus. Now, don't everybody say amen at once. I think strange about things. So, if you're waiting for this angel to come this one time a year, move the water so that somebody might be healed, who better than an angel to stir the water than the Lord Himself to stir the whole place?
Yeah.
And into this place walks the Lord Jesus. Now there's a fella here that's been coming to this place. My mind's running all over everywhere with this, me included. There's this one fellow there, one among many, obviously. He'd been coming to this meeting for 38 years. I mean, you could always expect him to be there. I mean, he's there every year. There he is again. I mean, it just wouldn't be right to come to this meeting and not see him here. I mean, there he is. There's Brother So-and-so. He's been coming for, well, as long as I can remember. He's always been here. And you know what? He looks just like he did last year. His circumstance hadn't changed a bit. Can't say that he's any worse, but one thing, he's not any better than he was. He did. What are y'all laughing at? Y'all are looking at me, I know. But this guy been coming here for 38 years and he's no better than no worse, but here he is. He's a faithful brother. I mean, he's been coming all these years. And the Lord just walked right into the middle of all of this. And when the Lord knew that he had been here all these 38. Now, before you suppose and just try to insert this in there, that it's because the Lord knows everything and he knows this fellow's been here. Well, if that's the case, then he knows what's the problem with everybody else in the place too. I submit to you that in the context of this is that the Lord knew that this fellow here. I would say probably then that probably the Lord had been here before. And he'd seen him there. Well, say, I see that you're still occupying the same pew that you did last year, brother. I mean, here you are. And the Lord walks right over to him. Same place that he's been every year. Consistent, faithful brother. Same shape that he was last time. And the Lord walks right over to him and says, What a question. Wilt thou be made whole? If those doors back there, now I would see him before y'all would, but if those doors back there swung open and the Lord Jesus himself come walking in the back door and walked around in here to any one of you, me, you ever wonder what he had asked you? I'm trying to put this in real time. And my real time's running out. So pay attention quick. If he walked in here and began to ask any of us and begin to inquire and kind of check out our background, how long you been coming to this meeting? Have you got anything out of it over the years? I mean, how long have you been laying here? And hadn't moved, hadn't changed, hadn't done anything. You're just like you was last time I saw you. Now, the Lord knows that, but he knows this fellow particularly, and he comes right straight to him and confronts him and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Would you actually make this complete? Do you want to complete this? You want to seal the deal? Are you just going to hang out here this year like you did last time? And the fellow gives his reason, and he says, well, I mean, why would you ask such a question? It's obvious. I keep coming. I'm here. I moved up a pew or two this year. I'm a little closer to the front this time than I was last time. I mean, but I don't have anybody to get me in the water when the water moves. And, you know, I've tried. I've made the efforts before. And every time that I do, somebody else gets in the water before me, and that just blows it out for all the rest of us. I mean, there's always somebody that's more able there to get in than me, and I haven't made it, but I just keep coming in hopes of something changing. Are y'all thinking? Waiting on the moving of the water. Now the Lord could have went into a council session there with him. Yes, you know, I understand that. You know, I've seen you here myself, and I realize that is a problem to have. And you know, brother, I would advise you, if you're really wanting to make a little bit difference in them, then maybe next year the least you could do was get up close enough to water to have your feet dangling in there, you know, so when you feel it move, just roll over in it. Get a little closer. But the Lord just is same manner as the question that he asked when the fellow says, well, yes, but I don't have any man to get me in there. And he gives his reason and his excuses, which, by the way, if we'll be honest, we've all got our excuses on what's holding us back from doing what we know we ought to do, don't we? And when he give off his excuse and his reasoning for nothing having changed and him not being able to get into the water, well, the Lord doesn't just say, well, I understand, brother, that's all right. Do the best that you can. It's all right. We're just glad you're here. Look forward to seeing you next year. Well, the Lord looks at him and says, Get up. Get up, take your bed and walk. Do something. You want to complete this? You want to be made whole? Now, we can spiritualize, we can over-spiritualize, we can under-spiritualize. But I'm trying hard not to spiritualize this to the point that you miss the literal lesson that is in there. I think it's wonderful that we understand the spiritual importance and the implications of how the Lord is able to raise the dead, amen. That the Lord is capable of healing and doing all of these kind of things while he was here. He still is. But I don't want to miss the literal lesson of it, friends, that Jesus can stir your life today.
Amen.
Jesus can come into a circumstance that is your habitual practice, your constant, everyday, mundane rule, that it is only motivated and moved a lot of times by stirring by extraordinary things that everybody else is looking for, and everybody is waiting on the big show to happen so somebody gets some benefit out of this somewhere, somehow. But I want you to be convinced as you leave here, and in closing I'm saying, and my wife says that means 10 more minutes. But I want you to leave here tonight, if nothing else on my part, convinced, encouraged, continuing to understand that Jesus is able to make a change in you right now. To believe the fact that Jesus could walk into your life at any time. And by the way, he doesn't ask for permission to do that. No more than it was an equal shock for the lady at the well the chapter before, as she walked up there in the middle of her everyday routine with the pot on that, and she looked up there, and oh no, there's a Jewish man up there. What's he doing here? And I got to come here and draw. Well, give me the drink. Well, what are you doing at the well? Well, it's kind of obvious. I'm thirsty. And what are you doing here? Well, it's kind of obvious. I want to be made better. Get up. Now, I can't. I started to say I could go in. No, I can't do that. I ain't got sense enough to know how to do that. But I hope that the lesson is plain enough for you to say that Jesus is saying, you want to be whole? Then act on what you believe.
Yeah.
Obey what I say. Get up. Rise up. And walk. Prove it. Prove it. Rise up. Take up your bed. And walk. Go home. Show that you actually have found what you was looking for. Show that there's actually a benefit in coming to this place over and over and over again. Have you proven it? Have you publicly witnessed this? Now, I don't know whether it's because that you're somewhat just a little distorted in your view of things, or maybe that you're crippled and you're still trying to lean on what happened in the past, and you're not able to get over that old cramp in your leg from way back yonder and how that used to be, and maybe you need to get rid of that, or maybe you've just been hanging around so long that you've lost the ability and things have withered up and not working like they used to anymore. But there's still the possibility that if Jesus walks into the place and says to you, get up, then you can get up. And you talk about stirring up a meeting. Well, this was the wrong day to do that. I mean, we don't do it on that day. No. Now, that day is for this particular function at this meeting. And now, if you're going to do that, you've got to wait. We've got to wait for, don't, no. No, if the Lord has told you now to get up, then right now is the time. Right now is the time. Are y'all thinking? Are y'all with me? I know this is deep theology for y'all tonight here at the close of this meeting for today. And I'm taxing you to think. But that's what I'm trying to do. And I want you to understand, yeah, it's raining. Can y'all imagine that? I think that's what's happening. There's the sound of abundance of rain. I'd like for you to be able to get past what you're used to. Can I say that? I want you to get past what you're used to and you're used to doing every time you go. I love this meeting. I love you people. I love being allowed to come over here. I love to have this opportunity tonight. But I want to, if this is the last time that I ever get to talk to you, I want you to know that our God's alive and well. He's on his throne tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ not only came into this world to save us from our sins and finish that, my good brother, but this is the will of Him that's in me. That he that seeth the Son and believeth in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise Him up at the last day. You believe that?
Yeah.
Then how about you get up now? Thank you for your attention.
Amen.